All right, I appreciate that. That was, I don't know if Brent might have been reading my mind or not, but I've got a thought that I just want to introduce to you. I just want to tell you a little bit about my friend, amen. I just kind of been thinking on that the last several days. You know, what a friend we have, what a friend I have. But it ain't a friend like any other, amen. It's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, amen. And I want to bring that thought to you tonight, if the Lord will help me. I do ask you to pray for me. And before I start in prayer, I want to ask God to help us. So if you will, and you're able to, I invite you to pray with me. Father, this night I want to say thank you, dear God, for your grace and mercy toward me. Thank you, Lord, for your help thus far this week and the weeks past. I thank you, dear God, for your hand of mercy on my heart, dear God, for helping me, Lord, guiding me and directing my path, Lord, saving my soul. I thank you, Lord, for the touch this week already, and thank you, Lord, for the touch and the help thus far today. And I want to pray and ask you, Lord, tonight that you please help us, I pray, Lord, that we might bring forth what was needed to help someone tonight. I pray, God, that you, Lord, encourage them that's watching and listening by way of internet. I pray, God, that you might, Lord, help them that their heart might be stirred. And I pray, God, that you, Lord, have your will and way to be done. And I want to say thank you, dear God, for being so good unto me. And, Father, I thank you also for my family, Lord, just being good to them. And, Lord, your grace and mercy there. And I want to say, Father, I thank you for a good man of God, Lord, that'll help me, encourage me. He's been a friend. I thank you, dear God, for all of that and just being good to me, watching over this service, I pray. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I thank God tonight for just that help. I mean, you know, I was thinking on that, just what a friend he is. You know, how he's been good to me and he's helped me and he's encouraged my heart. I do encourage you tonight, if you got your Bible and you're able to, I invite you to turn to the book of Proverbs tonight and chapter number 18. And I will begin, I only got one verse I want to bring forth from that, and I'll continue on. There's going to be several other brought out, but you don't have to bounce around so much. But here tonight in Proverbs chapter number 18, verse number 24, he says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I thank God tonight that he is my friend tonight that sticketh closer to than any brother. Amen. I understand and know that the bond between siblings is a strong one. I have several myself. I've got an all total of there's eight siblings in my family. Amen. I've got five sisters and two brothers. And I thank God for that. I appreciate God allowing me to have such a large family. And I appreciate God being good to me in that. But I'm telling you, even though the bond that I have between me and my siblings is a strong one, and it seems as though, and regardless of what I do or don't do, it seems as though I'm able to continue on and have a bond and a friendship with my family and my siblings. But as the scripture says here tonight, it says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. I appreciate that tonight. I've got a friend tonight that came out of heaven. Amen. Gave himself, made himself of no reputation, and came down in the form of a fleshly man to be able to come and die on the cross for me. I'm telling you, that in itself is a marvel to behold, that somebody would give himself for a friend, amen. And you'll see that here in just a little bit. But I'm telling you tonight that a friend like that, he sticketh closer than a brother. Whenever God saved my soul and he come into me, and that's something that right now when he says it sticketh closer than a brother, that means he'll never leave you. And even in the scripture, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said he's going to meet my need. He's going to carry me. He's going to make sure all my needs are met. He's going to carry me through adversity. He's going to carry me through the good times and the bad times, whatever it may be. I mean, we see the poem on many occasions through our life about footprints in the sand, and I'm not going to get into all that because, I mean, a lot of it's sentiment, but there is truth to it, that the God of heaven will carry you through and make sure all your needs are met, and you look back through the hard times to the good times, and you can see God's hand in it all. And that, my friend, right there is a friend indeed, that he'll carry you through. He'll bear your burdens. He'll meet your needs, both physical and emotional. He'll meet your needs, both spiritual and worldly. Amen. I appreciate appreciate God being a friend. I appreciate Jesus Christ being a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Amen. He's been with me through thick and thin. And I'm telling you, the grace of God in the midst of my adversity and in the midst of my trials. And I've been sick. I've been weak in body. And he's been there to help me up and carry me. I've been on the mountaintop a great many times, and I've felt his presence. I've felt his arms come around me when I needed it. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but it's something about it whenever you got a family member that you care for and loves you, and it just seems like they come around and just wrap their arms around you. And I'm telling you today, if you know God, if you know Christ as he is, as a friend, there's times that he's going to come and he's going to wrap his arms around you and he's going to say, it's all right. Or he's going to encourage you and say, thank you for being with me, and thank you for helping me. And there's going to be times you just say that it's just an encouragement to my heart that you're going to be sitting there having that in your heart. He's going to say, thank you, Lord. Because he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And now I'm telling you, I've got some friends that I consider my brothers. I've got I've got two brothers and I've got five sisters. But I'm telling you, I can't tell them everything. I can't go to them with everything. Now, I understand and know with my siblings, if I have a need, they'll do their best to make sure my need's met. But I'm telling you, and I love my family, I love my siblings, but they're going to fail me. That's just how life is. They're going to fail me. I'm going to fail them. It's just part of life. That's the human nature. In our flesh, we will falter. We'll fall. We'll have squabblings. We'll have times we go our separate ways and then come back together again. But I'm telling you, if you look at this in a scriptural sense, and said a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he said he'd never leave you. He said he'd never forsake me. He said he'd never. He holds true to his word. I've had every need I've ever had met. One fashion or another, it has been met. It ain't always the way I thought it should be, but my needs have always been met. If you look at me, I'm not starving. My needs physically are met on a daily basis. I have my physical need to eat every day. And he meets my need every day. He knows my needs. I can tell him anything and everything. I can go to him in the middle of the night, like Scripture makes mention of, and prior to a friend knocking on another friend's door in the middle of the night saying he's got some visitors come and needs bread to feed them, and it just kept on knocking. I'm telling you tonight, if you know him, he's available at any hour, amen. There's been times this past week I've woken up in the midst of the night in much prayer. I don't know about you if you ever have, but I woke up in prayer. Just crying out to God for some help. And the thing about it is, even though the help I wanted didn't come, his help did come. And relief was put out there and my needs were met. The needs of my family were met. But to be able to call on somebody at any hour right there is a friend indeed. A greater friend than I could ever, ever ask for. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I appreciate that. I appreciate the love of God that's in me allows me to love people the way that Christ loves people. Christ came into this world for that purpose, to give himself on a cross. And I'm telling you, that in itself is such an act you can't, which I'll even... I'll go one step further. John chapter 15 and verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm glad I have a friend that's greater than any other. I love my family, I love my siblings, I love my friends, but I've got one greater than them all, and he'll never leave me. He's continuing to meet my needs, and he's already met my needs for eternity past to eternity forward. Amen. I appreciate that. We need to take knowledge of that. A friend loveth at all times. Do you think within yourself that if you were on your way to the cross, that you'd be sitting there doing that and thinking about the ones that you're about to give yourself for, or vice versa? I'm telling you, the God of heaven sent his son to die on a cross, and he done it willingly. That was a willing sacrifice made on behalf of you and me by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. If that's not a love, love of a friend, then I don't know what is. According to the scripture, now, if you look at that in the right way, that's a love that is beyond comprehension. It's at least my comprehension, and I'm a simple man. Y'all might have a better understanding of that, but I can't comprehend why a man, the Christ man, the God man, would give himself for a lowly man like myself. I know myself. I have to look at myself in the mirror every day. I know what I am. I'm a low-down, rotten, Gentile, heathen dog that don't deserve the scraps off of any table. But the God of heaven, amen, gave himself a willing sacrifice for me. A love. And like I said, John chapter 15, 13, greater love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm here to tell you tonight, I've got a friend that gave himself for me. I've got a friend, amen, in Christ Jesus. I've got a love that's put in me for others that is unnatural in the physical sense. It ain't mine. That's for sure. If I depended upon myself to be able to care for somebody, I'd be in a world of mess. Whenever God saved my soul, God's given me the ability, and he's still working on me. He's working. I'm telling you, I had a temper. Back whenever God saved my soul, I had a temper. I'd let some things fly. And I'm telling you, I said I had friends. I cared for people. But the love I had was superficial. So, I mean, the thing about it is, I had friends I was going around with and running with at that time before God saved my soul. They said, they swore up and down they'd be with me through thick and thin. They'd take care of me and they'd never leave me. I'm telling you today, they're not here. Soon as God saved my soul, it just seemed like one after another, the friends that were there just started falling. And all, in all honesty, all that was left was him. He's all that matters. I'm grateful for the family my God has provided me. He's given me a good wife. He's given me some beautiful children. My house is not the newest. In fact, it's built the same year this church was built, 1950. But I have a place to lay my head. I've got food in my pantry. I don't have to walk nowhere. I've got a little money in the bank to take care of the groceries and put the gas in the vehicles. Or if somebody needs some help, I've got a little bit set aside. I've got the ability, but that's not something that I could provide. God has provided it for me. I'm glad of that. I'm glad I have a substitute out on Calvary that took my place. Because that's where I deserve to be tonight. I deserve to be on that road to hell because of what I was. I was a sinner. That way, and it's not like people got this concept nowadays of sin is something you do. But it's not. It's what you are. It's in your nature to be contrary. It's a contrary spirit to God himself. Just because you go out here and quote unquote sin doesn't mean that you can absolve it in yourself. It's not one singular act. It's what you are. It's in your nature. You can take a pig out of the pig pen, wash it up, put a big bow on his head, and the first time you let him go, the first thing he's going to go straight back on water in the mud because it's in his nature. That's why Christ himself had to give himself a willing sacrifice on Calvary that we might have eternal life. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24. Who his own self, see there, that's Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that is the cross, that we, the sinner, being dead to sins, in the sinner in Christ, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye are healed. There's the sacrifice I was telling you. There's that greater love than that hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ did that. Christ gave himself for them that believe. Christ gave himself that we would have an avenue and a way to be reconciled unto the Father. The world will have you believe that there's many ways to Christ, and that's not right. The Bible says, I am the way, being Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's singular. He is the way. Christ is the only one that it could make a way. He's the sinless Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He was the atonement for our sins, that we may have life and have it more abundantly in Christ. We can try to produce these things ourselves, but I'm here to tell you about my friend who gave himself for me. Hey, I'm telling you about my friend, my God, who gave himself a sacrifice on my behalf that I would not have to face death and damnation and hellfire. One of these days, I'm going to be able to stand with my friend before an almighty God. And you know, the thing that what scares me is them that do have to, he's my advocate tonight. I'm covered in his blood tonight. Those that do not have him as an advocate, those that do not have him as a friend, and those that have never known him, guess what? Guess what they're going to hear? Depart from me. I never knew you. There's this mentality today that God is just a loving God of all things. He loves everybody. But I'm telling you, he's a God of love, but he is a God of wrath. Just because we have this mentality in our minds that everything is all right, everybody's going to heaven, that's not necessarily true. But you have an opportunity. He gave himself that he might have an abundance of friends. Bible says, whosoever will. That's an open hand of friendship. You ever reached out to shake somebody's hand in friendship? You ever done that? That's how it was for me. I remember the night. I remember the day. I remember that time whenever God called my name and he showed me what I was. And his hand was outstretched to me. There's an action that needs to be taken. You have to move. You have to acknowledge. You have to believe. Now, I'm not saying you can go anytime, but there is a time whenever the hand of friendship, the hand of God, is outstretched towards you, and that's the only time you can take it. That's the only time you can be born again. Like it said over in John chapter 3, God told Nicodemus over in John chapter 3, you must be born again. The hand has to be outstretched. Just the mentality of the world today is, I'll just get saved right before I die or whenever I want to. And that's not the mentality. The only time you can get saved is whenever God's got his hand outstretched in friendship towards you. And he calls your name. You know, my friends know me by my name. They know my voice. They know me whenever I call their name. And I know my best friend. I know the God of heaven when he called my name. I wasn't guessing who it was. When he called my name, I knew who it was. A friend, he's not going to lie to you. That's why I said, hell, a friend loveth at all times. Whenever you love somebody, you're not going to sit there and lie to them. That's the mentality we have in this world today. They've got a great number of so-called preachers and people out there just tickling people's ears, making them feel good about whatever they want, rather than just looking them dead in the face with tears in their eyes and saying, God is not okay with what you're doing. God is not okay with who you are in that way. And if you don't get saved and born again by God, you're going to die and go to hell.
Mamas and daddies, are you more than just a mama and daddy to your children? Are you their friend? And I mean a real friend. Pastors, are you a friend to those in your congregation? And I'm talking about a real friend. The friend I have. If I was not able to stand here tonight and tell you about it, my life should show that I have a friend like that in my actions. I appreciate God being good to me in that way, that He gave Himself for me. I have a friend like that. A friend that loves me in all things. That a friend that sees to my needs and my desires. Pardon me, that slobber went down the wrong way. But I have a friend who cares for me. I have a friend that tells me what is wrong and he don't lie to me. I have a friend that has written a love letter to me greater than any ever before. And I can read it anytime. The Word of God. I have an account of what God did for me at on Calvary. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Ain't that something? I would say that the sacrifice given out on Calvary, God giving Himself a willing sacrifice, is the greatest charity, the greatest love that could ever be. According to what the Scripture tells me, that is the greatest love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. His blood, His sacrifice covered my sins. You ever noticed how a charitable action towards somebody would encourage them? So telling somebody the truth in a broken spirit, not in anger now, but I'm telling you, having a fervent love for somebody, a deep love for somebody in truth, going to them and telling them the truth or meeting their need. You know, I want to read something to you right quick. Just a definition of charity according to Webster's 1828. In a general sense, love, benevolence, goodwill, that disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow man and to do them good. In a theological sense, it includes supreme love of God and a universal good will to men. In short, charity is part of love. Charity is love. The charity given me, afforded me by God, the love of God given me, is greater than anything. That's a greater friendship. That's a greater relationship than you could ever ask for or ever comprehend. I appreciate God doing that. What a friend. You know, the ladies' trio that sings here, they sing a song, you know, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I encourage you to listen to that sometime when they sing that, but that's the truth. There is no friend like Him. There is no one that will love you like Him. Now, I know I love my wife. God give her to me. And I know she loves me, but I'm telling you, the love we have, albeit ordained by God, the love we have compares nothing to the love that God give me. The love that God has for me. The love God has for you. There is no comparison. I appreciate God being the friend He is to me. I appreciate Christ being the friend He is to me. One that sticketh closer than any brother. He is good to me. He's never left me. When I need Him, He's always there. People ask me yesterday and this week, I don't understand how you made it through. I don't understand how you had the strength to do what you did and say what you said and to be able to stand. I'm telling you tonight, that's not in Christopher Messick. That is in God. That is the help and the touch and the hand and the grace of God. That's the love of God. That's what I'm talking about. The love of God constraineth the sin of the world. The love of God helps the individuals. Love of God will uphold His children. I thank God tonight for that. I thank God for His sacrifice out on Calvary. I thank God that I can still come to Him regardless of my sin, regardless of what it is. I can come to Him, ask for forgiveness, and He will restore me. That's a friend indeed. Most time you transgress a friend this day, they'll turn you back and won't never be back. But I'm telling you, and I will falter, I'm flesh. But a friend loveth at all times. A friend has greater love than the greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the love of God, my friend. That's a greater love than we can comprehend. I can comprehend, and that's what we have today if you're willing to come to Him. If He's calling your name, if He's standing there with His hand stretched out in friendship, I urge you to take it. Sinner, take His hand. Saint, if you've wronged Him, come to Him. If this is, I don't know what the need of the people listening tonight was, but I'm telling you, He's my friend, and I love Him. I appreciate Him. He's met my needs. He's never left me. I appreciate God being good to me. I've been thinking about that. What a friend I have. We sing that quite often. What a friend we have in Jesus. And that's the truth. What a friend. What a friend. There is no comparison. He bears everything for us. He does all things for us. Now, I'm not saying we're absolved of any work or whatsoever. God's going to handle it all. But I'm telling you, people ought to see the love of God in you. People ought to see the love of God in me. Whether it be meeting their need, praying for them, praying with them. You know, I see the love of God in my pastor quite often because he calls and checks on me. He says, I love you. He says, I want to pray for you. Can I pray for your family? Do you have a need? There's a lot more to it than just these little trivial things. A word of encouragement. There's times I feel low. I mean, this past week has been the lowest I've ever been in my life. But just to have some encouragement from the Word of God, for Him to come whisper in my ear and touch my heart, is great encouragement. Friend, I appreciate God helping me tonight. My friend. I wanted to tell you a little bit about my friend tonight. My friend, the Jesus, the Christ of heaven. Amen. God's been good to me. I want you to remember tonight, Sunday service, 11 o'clock. We should be live there as well. If you're sick, I encourage you, please stay home. If you got the sniffles or whatever, please stay home. We love you tonight, but I want to encourage you tonight, if you're able and or in a position to, be with us on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, for the Sunday hour of worship. Amen. I appreciate God tonight. I want to say thank you for tuning in. Pray for us. Pray for our pastor. Pray for our church. And again, we'll see you the next go-round this coming Sunday morning. Thank you for watching.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we